Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, April 13th. I'm Sarith Hawk. A housing proposal in Fresno could bring 45,000 new houses to the city, but many say the project would harm the city more than help.
There was this huge opposition around the budget shortfalls that would result from basically having to finance this remainder of infrastructure costs on the backs of residents.
Today, we speak with a Fresnoland reporter about the SEDA project. We also discuss how Fresno's mayor has been trying to influence the project behind the scenes. That conversation in just a moment.
You're listening to the Valley's only daily news podcast, Central Valley Daily. Show your support for local news by joining us at Corks and Brews, KVPR's annual spring fundraiser. On Sunday, May 3rd, enjoy an afternoon of fine wine and craft beer tastings. New this year, food will be available for purchase from some of the Valley's favorite food vendors. We encourage you to drink responsibly, find answers to frequently asked questions, and purchase your $75 ticket at kvpr.org.
And now to our feature story. The ongoing battle over the Southeast Development Area, or SEDA project in Fresno, has intensified yet again. This time, we're getting a clearer picture of the tension behind the scenes as Fresno Mayor Jerry Dyer struggles to keep his administration's landmark plan alive. The 9,000-acre, 45,000-home development has already faced fierce public opposition. But a recent report from our news partner Fresnoland shows revealing text messages from Dyer right before a crucial vote by Fresno Unified School Board trustees. The messages underscore the roiling tensions between elected city officials as they steer the project's path and an uncertain future. I spoke with Fresnoland staff writer Gregory Weaver, who gave me some background on the project.
I think it's one of these major things that for any Fresno resident, they'll immediately understand. Fresno's a city of migrations. You know, you have Armenians and Hmongs and all these other sorts of ethnicities, and they've tended to cluster, and those have formed kind of these experiences and you know, these great stories like Saroyan or whatnot, right? And then there's this other part of Fresno. It's about 50 years old since the 1970s, where you have new subdivisions. And, you know, everybody knows that something in the Roosevelt area, that experience is a lot different than the Clovis North area. And basically what SEDA is about in Southeast Fresno around Roosevelt, the mayor wants to build a new Clovis North area on farmland that's east of Temperance Avenue. It's 9,000 acres. And basically imagine everything that's northeast of River Park, all those homes all the way to Willow Avenue, that it's almost an identical footprint that's going to be that the mayor wants to add east of Temperance Avenue in Southeast Fresno around the Roosevelt area.
Yeah, a multi-billion dollar proposition. The project is really a major pillar, as you said, of Mayor Jerry Dyer's agenda. Could you talk about why he and other leaders say this project would actually benefit the city?
The idea that the mayor's going forward with is that the price of housing is so high, and building more housing is going to reduce the price that people are going to be paying for rent or a new home or whatnot. You know, one of the big problems of that is, you know, building something like the size of the Clovis North, Clovis West, Buchanan area is going to cost $4 billion. And developer fees can only cover about $1 billion of that. So where's the $3 billion going to come from? The mayor actually did a report on this. He got some consultants, some economists to look at it, and he says, well, it's unlikely that a banker is going to give you this money. The cost benefit, the profit to be made from, you know, homes at the price point that Dyer wants them to sell at, there's just not enough money to go around for them to want to take on that risk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, historically, at the last hearing on SEDA in December, it drew out a crowd that was, some pretty experienced people who go to city council meetings told me was the biggest crowd in the last 10 years at City Hall on a single item. There was this huge opposition around the budget shortfalls that would result from basically having to finance this remainder of infrastructure costs on the backs of residents. And the city manager admitted as such. She said that, to build new parts of the city, residents have always, you know, financed that part of stuff, kind of normalizing this idea. Yeah, this is the way Fresno has always grown. Well, you know, the problems of the city that, you know, the mayor wants to solve, well, you can't solve a problem by looking at what caused it and doing it over again. That's what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, and, you know, we've had you on the show to talk about this issue before in your reporting. The reason we're here today is that last week you came out with this report that outlines text messages by Fresno Mayor Jerry Dyer. He sent texts to board trustees of the Fresno Unified School District. Could you tell us what you found within these texts?
So Fresno Unified, facing massive risks from SEDA, the superintendent and one of the trustees, Veva Islas, tried to put forward a resolution saying this is going to negatively impact the district and we are opposed to it. And you would think that that would be a strong consensus, keeping schools open and avoiding an estimated $200 million in funding loss a year. You'd think that a board that's Fresno Unified, that's elected to represent Fresno Unified, would basically think that's common sense, right? Actually, a majority of the trustees basically took the resolution down and said, we're not going to vote on this. And my reporting showed that it was because the mayor had texted them these messages saying, if you oppose SEDA, I'm going to have to start saying stuff about Fresno Unified. The relationship between the district and the city is going to be, you know, damaged, and there's no way around it. And you know, some of these trustees pushed back, and Dyer, you know, doubled down, saying, yeah, no, it's sad to see that you guys are opposing SEDA.
Can you talk about what the atmosphere was like when this resolution was taking place in February? Can you take us back to that time?
Yeah, so basically, once it came time to talk about it, the trustees who decided to you know, the technical term is table it. You know, they took it off the agenda. We're not going to vote on this. The one that they shot down, the resolution, they didn't really say anything. They just said, we're not going to vote on this tonight. And that was it. And it was like, you know, like for such a high stakes thing in the district, the people who ultimately decided to avoid taking a stance on it didn't really justify at all what their votes were. A lot of them were over Zoom. I mean, they literally phoned it in. And the only person who really spoke up was Veva Islas. She said, you know, we're not going to be intimidated by the mayor. We'll see what happens going down the line if Veva's, you know, call will be heard or not.
And why would the mayor be sending these sorts of text messages to the board? Why did it matter to him that they didn't say anything?
Well, Fresno Unified is the biggest employer in the city. If you look at everyday people in Fresno, it's arguably the number one institution that they're in contact with is Fresno Unified. And this resolution would have empowered the superintendent, her whole staff, and it would have gotten her behind the teachers union to start communicating the risks to everyday people, to parents and teachers and students. You know, I mean, there's about 70,000 students there, and basically most of the city would then know what was at stake, and it would make what Dyer's trying to support, SEDA, the stakes extremely obvious. You know, a closed down school, that's a hard association to get out of your mind.
In your reporting, you noted that the resolution to the board to oppose SEDA was actually backed by the superintendent. And in the past, we've seen the massive public response to the project as well. I'm curious, you know, what difference would it have made for the district to be able to take a formal public stance?
There's about 100 school campuses in Fresno Unified. Obviously, if the superintendent wants to do something, they can make it happen in a way that, you know, maybe the union can't, right? They don't have control over the schools being open or not. I mean, right now there's a ballot proposition, or there's a threat to, they call it the nuclear option, that if the city council, despite all these risks to the people that elected them, you know, a brain drain of Fresno Unified, just collapsing property values, that they'll just do a ballot initiative, that the Fresno will vote, should we do SEDA or not? And this ballot proposition could be so devastating for SEDA, it would basically rule out developing that area permanently. And of course, there's all sorts of other things that my reporting hasn't gone into. I mean, there's a lot of Hmong tenant farmers in SEDA that are delivering crops to Hmong supermarkets that deliver, you know, Hmong, like authentic Hmong food that can't be grown anywhere else. It's not like we're making new farmland, right? These people would lose their livelihoods. This whole culture would take a serious step back. Like, this is another entirely different thing that, you know, there's some Hmong teachers at Edison that are activated on this.
To you, why are the texts significant to this story? Why should people care? We know that politicians talk amongst themselves and negotiate behind closed doors. What to you, what made this story so significant?
I think it's important to see how power operates in the town. And residents don't have a say in really in day-to-day operations for institutions that affect their daily lives, right? I mean, if your kid has to go to school that now has half the funding and, you know, it's all the basket cases of the district, all of the kids that typically uplift a classroom have fled to Clovis Unified, and you can't buy that option simply because you're not wealthy enough, you know, it's a hard deal to take. And how exactly people who are elected to protect your interests, right? That hypothetical parent who's sending a kid to Sunnyside or Roosevelt or one of its feeder schools, protect that classroom experience, how they basically shrugged and said, we're not going to take a stance on this. Why? How could that contradiction happen? Well, it's happening right here in these text messages. This is what's happening behind the scenes.
And so with all that context, where does the Fresno SATA project stand right now? Is it nearing approval?
So I think the city council is having a few elections in June. And depending on how those go, the council may be a lot more progressive. And I don't think that if a lot of the candidates who are front runners right now get elected in some of these positions, it's going to be hard for Dyer to get four votes to approve SATA. And so he may try and get this thing approved sooner rather than later. But right now, the opposition that has mounted in the last 10 months, 6 months, is so heavy. It's so hard to get around that it's presented a bunch of challenges on now answering questions of city council members. Yeah, so tell me what's going to happen to Fresno Unified. And, you know, if their vote becomes a vote over whether or not to kill Fresno Unified or not, that's a very hard thing to wear politically for your career to really then go back to voters in these areas and say, yeah, vote for me for an even more powerful position. You know, I'll protect your interests. That's a tough sell.
Well, Gregory Weaver, staff writer with our news partner, Fresno Land, thanks for breaking down your reporting for us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's today's show. Have a story idea for Central Valley Daily? Maybe feedback for the show? We'd love to hear from you. Just email podcast@kvpr.org. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
You know, every day on Up First, NPR's Golden Globe-nominated morning news podcast, we bring you three essential stories. At the heart of each story are questions. What really happened? What really mattered? What happens next? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious and to follow the facts. Follow Up First wherever you get your podcasts and start your day knowing what matters and why.